Good afternoon and welcome to Open for Questions, a special Q&A connected with the White House Conference on Bullying Prevention. This is a session for you, a chance for you to have your questions answered about bullying, an issue that affects all of us. I am Kelly Wallace, Chief Correspondent for iVillage, and I am joined by the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Kathleen Sebelius. And if you have questions for the Secretary, send them right now to us on Twitter at iVillage, or go to iVillage on Facebook and we will pose them to the Secretary. Again, this session is for you. It is being live streamed on whitehouse.gov and iVillage.com. Madam Secretary, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Kelly, it's great to be with you.
First question, this conference on bullying prevention, what do you hope is accomplished by this meeting today?
Well, I think that what we hope is that parents, teachers, community leaders, but also kids who are being bullied know that there are some help and support, that there are places to turn, that there are adults who really care, and that there are ways that they can have safe schools, safe neighborhoods, safe homes, and people to call on when bullying begins. And frankly, bullying has gotten tougher with the whole internet. So cyberbullying, which wasn't even thought of when I was growing up, and not so much when my kids were growing up, is very much a part of the reality. So we want to share the best practices, highlight the situation, but also say that there is help and support. Great new website launching today, stopbullying.gov, and it has information for every age group.
Absolutely. Well, we have so many questions from the iVillage community. And again, if you have questions, send them to us now. This question from a mom of two in Orlando, and an issue that a lot of people in the iVillage community talked about. In these days of drastic budget cuts, what can be done to help schools afford to deal with this very real problem? Because the most effective programs, according to this writer, those that include dramatic arts and programs that are built upon the entire school year, and they all cost money. You know that. What can you do?
Well, I think part of it is parents' voices need to be part of those budget decisions at the local level. Money is always tight, but you know, frankly, I have a son who was a Rhode Island School of Design graduate who had an art teacher in high school who said this is what he should do, and it really opened up a whole new world for him. So I'm a huge believer that we have to meet kids where their interests are and make them feel important and accelerate at their own paces. So parents' voices are great, but also a lot of the bullying issues, I think, deal with leadership in schools. The leaders are there, but again, parental demands that they pay attention and that they set a culture of safety and that it is reinforced at every step along the way. And help kids understand that this really isn't okay. It isn't something that they have to put up with. It isn't something that is a rite of passage. Make them feel safe about coming forward and talking about the bullying that might occur.
That jumping off point, because we just got this question from Twitter, which is, how can you convince a child reporting a bully is the right thing to do? So many kids are afraid. They just want the bullying to stop. They don't really want to even sort of think about consequences for the bully.
Well, I think first of all, a lot of kids are afraid,
right,
that you know, whatever pain they're in now could only get worse. And somehow having that conversation, sometimes I think what I've heard from a lot of people who know a lot more about this than I do is talking to a child about somebody else being bullied. What would you do? How could you help? So it doesn't personalize it, but it puts them in the situation of being somebody else's defender is often a good way to get information. But again, children need to be safe and they need to feel safe. And we just need to somehow reinforce the message that it is not okay to be in a situation where you're made to feel afraid all the time. And schools certainly aren't a place that should happen.
We just did at iVillage a story not too long ago at PS 119 in Brooklyn, New York. They do anti-bullying raps to send the message that bullying is not okay. And we got a message from a fifth grader there, a question, which I think is very interesting in this political climate. As an adult, have you noticed bullying in the White House? And if so, how did you deal with the situation?
I haven't noticed bullying in the White House. I think what we have is a first family, a president and a first lady who have kids in school and are very sensitive to issues about being made to feel different. And we have a president who frankly talks about the fact that he was a skinny kid with big ears and a funny name.
Right.
And my guess is came at this topic with some personal understanding. He also moved a number of times, was in different situations. So I think you have a leader who is very attuned to what he went through as a kid, how being different might be very difficult, and what parents, school groups, community groups, grandparents can do to reach out to kids. And that's a very good thing.
Absolutely. Another question coming in from Twitter. Again, send us your questions at iVillage on Twitter or go to iVillage on Facebook. This question, why don't U.S. schools teach digital etiquette like South Korea does?
Well, I'm not even sure what digital etiquette is. I guess the
cyberbullying. The do's and don'ts, and that there's more attention to the consequences of what's right and what's wrong online, just like what's right and wrong in our everyday lives.
Well, to me, there isn't necessarily a difference between cyber etiquette and regular
etiquette. Right.
What I think is accelerated in the bullying world is that mean speech on a computer can be sent far further and do much more damage. Can be done anonymously. At least if you do it in person, you have to step up and you are identified.
Right.
Anonymous rumors or lies are very difficult to get a handle on. So in that case, it needs to be gone after. But I think parents, again, the notion that your child could be in real jeopardy by someone who comes after them on the internet or anonymously or leaving text messages or photoshopping any number of things is very real. And so understanding that, helping to monitor it, and helping a child understand it's not just somebody who pushes you down or takes your lunch money, but those kinds of messages, images, rumors are equally bullying, and having a child understand that that's no more acceptable than is somebody who would come up and shove you down.
Absolutely. We just got a question from Twitter, and it mirrors a question that we got from a mom with a special needs child in Queens. The question from Twitter is, how do we raise the importance of language and special needs bullying when the R word, you know, is so accepted in our vernacular? And this woman from Queens says, her greatest fear is that her special needs son won't be able to tell her about the bullying incidents at school because he has limited communication skills. So what steps will politicians and school officials take on local and state levels to prevent and deal with bullying of students with disabilities?
Well, I think it's a great question. And it again, it's I would say the disabilities community, particularly those who have language challenges, are in a particularly difficult situation because they can't necessarily come forward, but anybody who's different and made to feel different is in some of this jeopardy. Again, I think the stopbullying.gov has recommendations for parents, for grandparents, for the kids themselves, for others to look at strategies to identify and go after this. But I would say that calling people out on language is appropriate, whether it's a homophobic joke or a use of a terminology that unfortunately some people do without thinking about it. I can guarantee you, being called out, they think about it the next time. It forces some confrontation, and whether it's a racial slur or some kind of derogative comment based on special needs or a homophobic comment, I think the more that language is confronted directly, reminding people that that has real impact, that words really do matter, is appropriate.
Absolutely, consequences to those words. You know, a common question we got, which is how young, like when do we start talking to our kids? Beth Engelman, she's one of our iVoices on iVillage, a mom of one from Glenview, Illinois, says, should we talk about school bullying with young children under 6? And if so, how? When do we start as parents?
Well, I think, again, I think absolutely you start in preschool. I mean, bullying can clearly occur when your child is in the first social setting. It can be a playgroup.
Right.
It can be any number of things. So I think the earlier the better, because parents don't have any hesitation at a very young age to talk about sharing. You should also talk about, you know, potential harm and potential bad behavior and not only make a child aware that it's not okay. That's what I think is important at an early age, that this is not something that is acceptable, that, you know, I will help you. You need to behave differently, but also we're going to take steps to try and get your friend to behave differently. I mean, I think the earlier, the better, because unfortunately, it can start at a very early age.
And we're seeing that more and more, I believe. Another question from Twitter. If, as an adult, you see kids fighting after school, what should you do? Step in or call the police?
Well, again, I think that's a bit of a judgment call. How big are the kids?
How,
you know, are there weapons drawn? And unfortunately, those situations, I'd say first, don't walk away.
Right.
Don't go away.
Get involved.
Either get involved yourself, get help and get involved, you know, call the police, any number of strategies. But don't just go by and say, oh, well, they'll work it out.
Absolutely. All right, another group of kids, school kids at Walter S. Boardman Elementary School out in Oceanside, Long Island, and they really focus on empowering the bystander, right, to get people on the sidelines involved. A group of sixth graders wanted to ask you, we are working hard in our school to stop bullying, but would love to hear your ideas on how the government can help us. We know that New York State has passed a law to make sure schools take the problem seriously. What is the federal government planning to do to help us as well?
Well, the good news is 45 states have passed laws, so there is a framework in place to deal with bullying, both curriculum in schools and help and assistance. I'd say the stopbullying.gov website is a government tool. We have had a program in place under Health and Human Services since 2004 with 80 partners, community groups, advocacy groups, the PTA and others, working on a stop bullying campaign that has been in place. But using all the tools of Facebook and Twitter, using social media, and clearly, you know, bystanders are just that. They can either stand by and empower the act to go on, or they can become engaged and involved. And I think the earlier, again, kids understand that watching or observing is in ways participating.
Because the large majority of us end up in the bystander group,
you bet.
Right? A smaller you
bet.
Number.
Or you know that somebody else is in trouble and don't take action to report that. As we talked about before, Kelly, a child or a teenager may feel so victimized that they are paralyzed about defending themselves. Bystanders can really be very helpful and often save harm and perhaps save a life. If the victim can't come forward for him or herself, having somebody else speak for him or her is critical.
This next question, again from Twitter, gets to schools and how they deal with bullying. The question is, should schools have zero tolerance policies towards bullies with automatic suspension, or is there a better way?
Well, again, I don't want to micromanage
right.
a school policy. I think a zero tolerance is absolutely appropriate because, you know, how much bullying is okay,
right.
how much hazing is okay, what is a rite of passage? I think to say from the outset, you know, we do not tolerate activities that make anyone in the school feel unsafe or unwelcome, period. And then the administration can figure out the appropriate acts to take. But I think that should be set from the outset. And that's an expectation, and it's reinforced, not just said once, but it has to then be carried out. It has to be carried out by classroom teachers and by coaches and by, you know, librarians and the folks in the cafeteria line who watch a kid's plate be swiped. It isn't just one adult's job in that school. It's every adult's job in the school. The custodian may be more observant, frankly, than the teacher, or be in a situation where he or she is likely to see incidents that would never occur in a classroom. So having a zero tolerance policy then needs to include and involve every adult who's in and out of that school.
Because at the conference earlier this morning in the panel, it was very interesting talking about the impact school climate has, what an impact it could have in terms of bullying behavior and in terms of encouraging kids to go forward and report bullying behavior as well. A couple of questions from our iVillage community focus on parents. Some of the women that responded to us say, you know what, it's really the parents who are ultimately responsible. And one of our iVillage community members wants to know, should the parents, in your view, ultimately be held accountable for their child's bullying?
Well, again, I think that it is a parent's role to be involved and to help a child learn from the outset and reinforce good behavior. I have, again, difficulty kind of micromanaging right. off-site cases, but clearly there have been criminal cases brought against parents. And unfortunately, we've had situations of late where parents have knowingly been involved, if you will, in their child's bullying activities, knowingly aware, and allowed it to go on. So that situation is clearly an easier call than one that says, I wasn't aware, I didn't know. But encouraging parental involvement, encouraging and reaching out to parents. Again, you know, your kids are often gone for 6 or 7 hours a day in school. But making sure that teachers are giving very accurate feedback to parents about what is or is not happening and about a child's tendency to pick on other kids or, you know, take things from other children or is sometimes a tough conversation to have, but absolutely essential.
Absolutely. Okay, a question we have from Facebook, Madam Secretary. How do we help the bully as well as the bullied? I think we've had a couple of these questions where people talk about what can we do to help the bullied, but also what can we do to help the bully, because these boys and girls you know, may have been bullied at home or may have problems, emotional problems, and we want to help them on a better path in life.
Well, I think, again, I think the, I keep going back, the website does have some very specific tools.
Say the website again.
Another, stopbullying.gov, stopbullying.gov, and so there are some tools and tips. Unfortunately, a lot of school, as resources get tighter, don't have the counseling staff they may have had, may not have a school nurse, but having a caring adult at some point along the way deal with what is underlying this. I mean, typically it's a child who may feel very insecure, and the only way he or she deals with his own or her own insecurities is to take it out on somebody else, somebody smaller or perceived weaker. You feel more powerful if you're actually putting somebody in a weak situation. So there's no question we have to get some resources, get some help, get some counseling to those kids because it's again, a pattern, an unfortunate pattern that often those who are victims of bullying turn around and become bullies themselves.
All right, I think we have time for maybe one more question and then a closing thought. This from another iVillage community member. How come programs such as Stop Bullying Now and other relevant and proven bullying prevention programs are not part of every school in the country? They're proven successful, yet there's no mandatory bullying prevention acts in place for schools. Would you, in your view, opinion, support? Again, I know you don't want to micromanage and tell schools what to do,
well,
but do you think that there should be some mandatory bullying prevention
again,
in every
school? Again, a lot
school?
Of, yes, I do. And a lot of states have taken action, passed laws, the vast majority in the country. There are now protocol being introduced in school curriculum. Secretary Duncan, I'm on the iVillage site with you. Secretary Duncan at the Department of Education is very much a part of this, is also the father of younger children in school, is very committed to using their resources, their strategies, their support to, you know, spread the word that not only is this not acceptable, but there are things that we can do. I think the more we talk out loud about the fact that this is real and it is not acceptable and there are great practices that we can highlight, put a spotlight on, and spread throughout the country, the faster we're going to bring bullying to an end.
All right, Madam Secretary, I know you have to go run off to the conference and
yes,
closing comments.
Yes, I do.
Do you feel encouraged? Like you said, raising awareness is part of it. Obviously, there's a huge, huge mountain to climb. But do you feel, I mean, we've seen so many tragic cases, and they break your heart. Do you feel encouraged that we're getting the word out and at least people are taking notice? What's your sense of it?
Well, I think to have President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama bring together experts, parents, teachers, counselors, mental health professionals from across the country, tapping into not only the great resources of the federal government, local governments, but also recognizing that this is a this is the village that's raising a child. This is wrapping resources and help and support around our kids. And having these conversations, shining a bright light like you're doing right now with the iVillage listeners and viewers is really important. But the conversation has to continue. It can't just be 2 days in March of 2011 that we're going to focus on this and then we're going to go on to other things. I mean, each of us should turn around and have conversations with our own kids, have a new conversation with the teacher. If your school is not paying enough attention to this, bring that home. You know, there are many steps to take along the way. And talk to your child on a regular basis, not just how your day went, but how did everybody's day go? Did anybody have a tough time, and why? You know, and do they usually have a tough time? I mean, I think there are ways to actually put this topic on the table to not only make your child be a more responsible bystander, but also get some information about how safe is their environment, not only for them, but for everybody.
That's great advice, because the president, the first lady, even joked, it's a little tough to get answers from Sasha. They said every time they say, how was school today? Fine. So,
but for everybody else,
having them talk about other kids.
Did anybody have a tough time, you know, and why, and what's going on? And sometimes, at least it's been my experience, that kids are much more willing to come forward with somebody else's story, somebody else's situation, and not their own.
Absolutely. Well, Madam Secretary, we hope to continue the conversation with you and come back and do more on this.
Thank you again.
Kathleen Tobilia, Secretary of Health and Human Services. I'm Kelly Wallace, Chief Correspondent for iVillage. Thank you so much for joining us for this special Q&A as part of the White House Conference on Bullying Prevention. Again, check out that website, right? Stopbullying.gov. Thanks for joining us, and have a great day.